She's a real woman with a real life. She's someone you can relate to. Dawn Newton.
Welcome to the Dawn Newton Podcast. I am your host, Dawn Newton. You know, when it comes to organizing and decluttering, matching labels and baskets lined up neatly may be pretty to look at, but improving communication styles, setting boundaries at work, and curating a home that reflects your personal goals are what really help people thrive. What manifests as piles of clutter is often preceded by exhaustion, insecurity, or mental health and attention-related challenges. Joining me today is public health expert, Jenny Albertini. She is the author of the new book, Decluttered: Mindful Organizing for Health, Home, and Beyond.
Jenny Albertini, it's great to talk with you. We're talking today about your new book, Decluttered: Mindful Organization for Health, Home, and Beyond. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And I can attest to it. The book is beautiful, and it really resonates. It takes that decluttering to another level that I don't think we realize we have levels, but we also need to know that we have levels because it says in our talking points, this is not a traditional organizing book, and it's not. It's a godsend. Thank you for doing this, quite honestly.
Oh, you're welcome. And, you know, I had read so many organizing books over the years, and some of them are, you know, so helpful and have good ideas and stuff. But that just wasn't what intrigued me, Dawn, and that wasn't what I was talking about with my own clients. And so I really wanted to try and give something different to readers and the audience of people who are interested in why clutter is popping up in different areas of our life and offer some different ways for addressing it.
And how does clutter influence, impact our health?
You know, clutter comes up in different ways related to our health. The first thing to really look at are what underlying health conditions we might have that make it more difficult to deal with clutter. And that means letting go of it, maintaining order, following through on projects. And very often those underlying issues are things like brain-based conditions, which could be depression or anxiety or ADHD, things like that, that really just affect our executive functioning skills. And I say that without judgment or shame because so many people are dealing with many of these things. But we want to understand that, oh, there's a reason why it's a little more difficult for me to declutter and organize, and it might be for my neighbor or my sister. The other thing that comes up in how clutter can affect our health is when there's too much of an accumulation of things, you know, sort of the shopping is getting a little bit extreme, the piles are getting a little bit high. That can actually cause us to have danger in our homes. We've got piles that make it difficult to walk around. It could be complicated if there's a fire we need to get out quickly. It's obviously, you know, affecting our financial stability, things like that. How much money we're putting into the buying of the things. So there's so many different ways that clutter is affecting our health. And also it just leads to a buildup of cortisol, which is the stress hormone. And frankly, Dawn, I think life is stressful enough these days. And if we can do anything to reduce cortisol, decluttering seems like a great step to take to start on that path and feeling better.
And how would you define clutter? I mean, are we just talking the closet that we just keep shoving stuff in? Or is there something more to this? Or is it, I'm sure the spectrum can go from just the pile on your work desk to the closet to maybe something that's even more extreme?
Yeah, clutter really, in my mind, is anything that's a buildup of excess that affects how we live the life we want to live. And so just as you said, it can be physical stuff. It's a closet that's overflowing. It makes it difficult to pick out what we want to wear every day. It can be a relationship where things are left unsaid and there's tension building up, and that leads to fractures in community and love, things like that. And it also can be within our digital and work lives, of course. Too many priorities, too many tasks, not enough time being allocated for the general decluttering and maintenance of lives so that we can work in a more streamlined and easy fashion.
When one thing that you said too that was interesting that I didn't think about was emotional clutter, like from relationships. Is that unresolved issues? How would you define that? What does that look like?
Yeah, well, I think we want to consider it from a place that, you know, research really finds that relationships are one of the most important factors for wellness. And what can we do to keep those as healthy as possible? One of the most common relationship challenges I see around clutter is often in that older parent to adult child relationship, where there's probably been a lot of meaning from the older parent subscribed to things in the home, what things are sentimental, what things they want to keep and pass on. And yet adult children are really left with the dealing of that stuff as those parents become less mobile, less able to declutter or downsize on their own. And so that's really a lot of tension that can build up because we're passing on undue burdens and expectations around things to other people. And, you know, communication is difficult. I wouldn't say that it's easy to always have these talks, but one thing that I offer in the book are different scripts to bring up with people in your life who you might be having challenges around clutter, whether it's a partner or a parent or an in-law, things like that, so that you can really not let clutter get in the way of the type of relationship you want to have.
You know, and the book is beautifully done. It's beautiful to look at. And then it's really relatable, like really makes you stop and think. How do you want us to use this book?
Oh, what a great question. You know, I want people to use this book in reading it and, you know, trying to recognize parts of themselves in the different stories I tell about my own pathway and struggles through decluttering, as well as that of my clients. I'd like for them to use it in ways that they'll find nuggets that they can talk about with people in their lives, whether it's their bosses, their colleagues, their partners, and things like that. And one of the other ways I hope people use it is there are a series of exercises in the book that are a little bit different, Dawn, than things you might see in other decluttering books. You know, other books might say, oh, this is a good way to fold clothes or set up a shelf. And what I offer are journaling exercises and creativity activity ideas, ways to really have people go a little bit deeper to figure out their own personal reasons why clutter is appearing in different parts of their lives and how to manage it and get it to a place where they feel comfortable while still really respecting and honoring who they've been in different parts of their lives and different elements and things that they've collected along the way.
Well, and it's interesting too, just in our talking point, some of these statistics that are provided that according to the National Association of Productivity and Organizing Professionals, someone as yourself, the average person spends a staggering 1 year of their life searching for misplaced items. I don't disagree with that when you think about, okay, where did I leave that? What did I do? I mean, that's just so aggravating as it is. And that's equates to over 8,700 hours wasted in pursuit of lost belongings. It's like, wow, I had no idea.
Yeah. I mean, no one I know has enough time. And no one would say, oh, I don't need any more free time in my life. But I mean, so that I just think, what a waste. You know, all of those things that we would rather be doing with our lives than looking for stuff. And often when I'm talking with people and they say, oh, you know, I'll get around to decluttering someday, it's like, you know, you could, or you could just decide to start it now and start gaining those hours back in your life so that you're not constantly looking for things and you're not always wondering where things went, or perhaps even worse, buying duplicates and extras of things that you really don't need or want in your life.
And the other number too that came up was 80% of the items we choose to hold on to end up never being used. And I think that's where sometimes that shame or guilt comes up, where it still has the tag on it, but I never wore it. I thought I was going to wear it or use it or display it. And then it's like, well, now what do I do with it? And I think that piece of letting go and, I don't know, forgiving ourselves or giving ourselves permission. I think that's, I know I get stuck there for sure.
Oh, and so many people do, really. You know, that's why when you decide, Dawn, that you're going to take an action, like, you know what, I'm ready to let go of things, and also I want to marry shame with that. Like, let's let go of the shame. I often say to people, well, this is a learning experience when we're decluttering. Let's see, what are the things that you bought that you thought you might wear or use that you wound up not using? What can we learn from this? Oh, maybe you thought you were a sequins person, and so you bought a bunch of sequins things, but you never chose to wear those things when a special occasion came out. That's okay. I mean, you don't have to be a sequins person. We're not all interested in the same types of items, right? But let's not let that prevent you from moving forward. Let's donate or sell those items, get them over into the hands of someone who will enjoy them and will like wearing them and such. And let's make sure that you are only buying in the future moving forward things that don't have sequins, things that are what you choose to wear and like wearing and feel good wearing, for instance.
And how do we start this process with children? How do we kind of start that training period or that mindset? What's your advice there?
You know, I think that it's really best to start it as early as possible with kids. When you're having discussions about values and family values, one of the things is like the putting away of things, and that you are doing, you know, teaching kids to put stuff away is part of we take care of our home together. That does such wonders for kids to learn that like they're part of communities, whether it's at school or in friend groups and in families, of course, and also, you know, showing them that there can be limits to attachments for things, that they don't need to keep every toy that they've ever had or every art project they've ever done. Many parents that I work with, you know, start teaching their kids about, you know, when you outgrow something, a toy or clothes, and it's still in good condition, let's pass that on. Let's donate that to other kids, perhaps who don't have as much or would benefit from, you know, good quality donations. I also like to encourage things like memory boxes for both adults and kids. And that really allows people to have a place that says, hey, the most special items we can put in here and we save them and we, you know, maybe make albums once a year out of things. But, you know, so kids know it's not that everything is getting thrown away or donated, that they can have some agency about what they want to keep, but you are trying to teach them how to discern and make decisions about the value of different items. And that just comes from open communication and from kids really, you know, they model parent behavior. And so if they see you having an easy relationship with owning and letting go of things as it comes, then they will emulate that behavior also.
Well, I think, I mean, it is such a good way to pay that forward, because I just think about as you're talking about parents model it, and I think about how my parents modeled it. And when you talk about parents that have passed, such as mine have, and going through all of that, the one takeaway I had was, I don't want to do this to my kids.
Yes.
You know, when you think about it, and also that other piece is, you know, it gets so overwhelming. We open the closet door or whatever, the junk drawer that we all seem to get, and it just feels so overwhelming that we just shut it and walk away. But I also, the flip side is like, well, remember how it feels when you get that done.
Yes.
It's not hanging over your head. It's not that stressor. It's not, you know, there's such an emotional piece to it.
Oh, so much. You know, a lot of the time that I spend with is that emotional connection, that talking through why the things have built up around them, which ones are most important. And really that the process of decluttering is really about prioritizing. It's saying, let's find those things that you're most emotionally attached to, that you want to see and use and experience on a regular basis. And we want to elevate those things in your home, make them really special, make them really accessible, and letting go of the stuff that doesn't meet that bar, so that it's easier to find and maintain the things that are most special to you overall.
Where can we find the book and learn more about you and your work?
Oh, sure. So my book, Declutter, Mindful Organizing for Health, Home, and Beyond, is available wherever books are sold online. So take a look online is the first option. And my website is Jenny Albertini. That's J-E-N-N-Y-A-L-B-E-R-T-I-N-I. And you can find out more more about my services and the book and my background there. And I'm on Instagram as well in the same location.
Well, again, Jenny, I really appreciate this time and this work. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me, Dawn.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Dawn Newton Podcast. And a special thank you to my guest, Jenny Albertini, joining me today to discuss her new book, Decluttered, Mindful Organizing for Health, Home, and Beyond. For more information about Jenny and her work, JennyAlbertini.com is the place to go. And be sure and visit my website, DawnNewton.com. The Dawn Newton Podcast is written, produced, and hosted by Dawn Newton.